everyone, welcome back to another episode of Tantra's Mantra, where we go behind and beyond the tech news headlines. I'm your host Prakash Sangam, founder and principal at Tantra Analyst. In today's episode, we are moving attention to the industrial technology space. We will talk about an interesting SDK, a software development kit called Swift Decoder from industrial giant Honeywell. Swift Decoder is a high-performance barcode reader software that allows Honeywell customers to develop native or hybrid apps for barcode scanning, obviously, across many platforms. You might ask, barcode scanner? I mean, it's been around. The scanners have been around for many decades, right? So what is the big deal now? Nowadays, even a smartphone with even free apps can be a barcode reader, right? So why is it a big deal now? What is changing? Why do we have to talk about this now? Well, I say all are very valid questions. And to answer those and for a larger discussion on the topic, we have two experts from Honeywell with us today, and they are Theodore Newman, who is the Senior Manager of Global Advanced Application Engineering, and Steph Hobley-Lloyd, who is the Swift Decoder Offering Manager. Theo and Steph, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. So could you give a quick background on both of you and what your roles and responsibilities are at Honeywell?
Absolutely. So I'm Theo Newman, and my background is in mechanical engineering with a concentration in robotics, right? So electrical and software and systems coming together. And what I manage is our global team of solutions architects and advanced engineers to help customers with new technology deployment. So what that means is when they want to integrate new solutions and go figure out problems that their customers need to go solve, my team and I's job is to go figure out how we do that with what we have available and how we can help them architect that full systems view.
Perfect. Steph?
Yeah, hi. My role is I'm the offering manager for Swift Decoder. What that means is that I'm responsible for that software solution in terms of how we go to market globally and also the roadmap of that product. So not only what we've got in the roadmap today, but how we're going to innovate and put features and technology into our solution that will innovate us for the future and differentiate us.
Very well. Let's jump on to the questions right away then. So as I mentioned, barcode scanners have been around for decades now, right? So why are we talking about this now? And what's the big deal? What's different? What specific pain point or a challenge of a customer it is trying to solve now?
So I think what we need to do is maybe just take a step back and really talk about Swift Decoder as a solution rather than, you know, it being a scanner, because it's actually more than that.
Okay.
You know, Swift Decoder is a solution that helps customers with data collection, all different types of data. So it equips our customers with, you know, really good cutting edge features that, you know, help them collect and distribute data within their business.
Okay.
It, you know, uses our algorithms, so it's you know, its speed and accuracy is as it should be for that enterprise environment. And really it helps customers automate and streamline places where maybe they're still using manual processes for collecting data, whether that's manually typing into a keyboard or whether that is, you know, just taking a photograph and saving that photograph to actually automating that process and making all of that data searchable and digital.
Yeah, very well. So, I mean, some might say every smartphone out there with a camera is kind of a barcode scanner, right? And there are a lot of free applications available as well. How is Swift Decoder different? At least from barcode scanning perspective, when you talked about it being robust, you can do it in bulk and so on.
Yeah, I mean, great. That's a great question. There are different features within Swift Decoder that differentiate it from a piece of freeware. But fundamentally, if you know, put a bit of freeware on your device and change your camera into a scanner, that's great. And, you know, for one or two scans, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But when you're in an enterprise environment, we all know, you know, lighting conditions can be very different.
Mm-hmm.
It can be that, you know, the barcodes that you are trying to read or the text that you're trying to capture mm-hmm. isn't well printed. It's not all, you know, perfect. Mm-hmm. It could be torn. It could be folded.
Yeah.
And these are types of algorithms, you know, 50 years of our technology goes into our algorithms that handles these situations so that the user just gets a really fast, accurate experience. If you were to use a piece of freeware in a low light environment, the likelihood is it will take you a few times to actually get that mm-hmm. product to scan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not great experience within an industry where, you know, you've got fast moving products.
Yeah. One simple example many of us have experienced is you are getting into the plane, right? And you have to scan your boarding pass at the gate in the airport. If you're using your phone, they always ask you to increase the brightness, and there's, you know, always issue with scanning the QR code and so on, right? So that's kind of the pain points you're saying will be solved, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, Theo.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, absolutely, right? The idea is that you are leveraging the technology and the high quality cameras that you have on these devices. Mm-hmm. You know, freeware, when it's out there scanning, right? Mm-hmm. If you run into issues, who do you call?
Yeah.
Right. If it inputs bad data, when do you capture it? You don't know if you got bad data at when you scanned it, maybe, you know, months down the line, and that introduces additional cost and other issues, right? So mm-hmm. Swift Decoder is backed by this big Honeywell giant and all of our algorithms and patents to really create a robust product, you know, that you can rely on and depend on, just like our hardware scanners that we sell out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Steph, did you have anything to add? Or
No, I totally agree with what Thea just said.
Okay. Yeah. Is Swift Decoder replacing the things that most of the enterprises have now, or is it creating new business models, new use cases and such?
I think we're not here to replace, you know, devices. We're not here to replace, you know, where people are using, you know, if you're in a very high scanning intensive workflow,
uh-huh.
having a dedicated device with a scan engine at the end of that device, ergonomically, the way that you hold that makes sense, right?
Uh-huh.
You're not going to get, you know, to use the camera on a device, you do have to hold that device differently.
Yeah.
So, you know, in high intensity scanning, absolutely, you know, something with a scan engine mm-hmm. really should, you know, we're not there to replace that business. What we're looking at doing
mm-hmm.
and where we really add, where we're unique, right, and we add some great value is where you've got workflows where we can
mm-hmm.
slightly change that workflow by using the camera. So a really good example of that, and you did mention it,
uh-huh.
was, for example, batch.
Yeah.
So today, if you were using a just a general scanner
uh-huh.
and you have a pallet that comes into your business, you have to scan each individual item on that pallet. Uh-huh. So you may be scanning 20, 30, 40 times.
Uh-huh.
Individually,
yeah.
If I could then stand back and in the field of view, I can capture 20 barcodes in one field of view at one time,
uh-huh.
that increases the productivity. And it's such a simple change,
yeah.
but actually it automates that process better. So that's where we're looking to help. The other part of where we're looking to help is adding value to those devices by offering optical character recognition.
Mm-hmm.
So where you need to capture data outside of the barcode.
Yeah.
And that's in all different businesses. There's lots of, you know, bills of lading.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, IMEI numbers, serial numbers, all sorts of batch numbers that are on boxes
mm-hmm.
that really aren't being collected today just because they don't want to, you know, manually write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think if we map it out one step further of where this software goes, right, mm-hmm. and what else it can be used for, yeah. is embedded environments, right? Yeah. We have customers today that are pushing the limits of what you can do. You have all of these smart robotic devices out there mm-hmm. with high quality cameras and great processors,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're doing a lot of really cool work out there, but they need a level of assurance that what they're seeing is what they expect it to be, right? To be able to scan, to be able to add OCR technology to it.
Mm-hmm.
So embedding Swift Decoder in use cases today, right? Like mail sortation and, you know, robotic drones, inventorying warehouses is another vertical that we focus beyond just your standard scanners most people are used to.
Okay. And currently, basically, as Steph mentioned, they're doing basic bar scanning either on a per box or per code basis, and they're only collecting minimal data with maybe one barcode. But you're saying with this, if you, for example, implement this into a mail sorter, for example, right? Then it can look at many other things, not just the one barcode, and understand and catalog the data for later use. Am I saying that right? Or
yeah, I think fundamentally that's the idea, right? Is that you're able to, from a single image, extract multiple barcodes, recognize the location on the screen, right? Mm-hmm. And so across multiple frames, you're going to see that barcode be moving, right? Okay. So you can even track those barcodes depending on how high quality your camera is.
Yeah.
And so those types of workflows do really speed up, to Steph's point, use cases that you have customers out there, right? Especially on large pallets, large scanning use cases. Mm-hmm. Now, there's always a use case where you will need a handheld scanner, whether it's the ruggedized environment, whether it's some long range scanning that's beyond the scope of a consumer device, you know, all of those things come into play. And our job, especially on my side, right, is to guide them on the right solution. Sometimes it makes sense to put this on a consumer device, or put it on a Honeywell rugged device, or, you know, put it as a fixed mounted camera in an embedded environment. There's thousands of ways to solve this problem, but our goal from offering to, you know, advanced engineering here is to make sure they have the right solution for the right use case at the right time.
Very well. And what are some of the interesting use cases that you've seen people use Swift since it's been launched?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take one. I'm sure Steph has her own idea of which one's cool as well. But for me, the one I really loved seeing recently was embedding Swift Decoder in warehouse drones, right? So the concept is that as you do first and second shift, pallets and boxes are getting moved around constantly, and they're getting placed. And sometimes those items get lost, right? By the time third shift rolls in or first shift comes back the next day, it's not where they left it. So there's a company out there that deploys Swift Decoder today and flies around the warehouse drones overnight, right? So when second shift logs off, they fly around and they inventory everything with, you know, like a DJI type drone. And scanning all of those barcodes, and they input it into a master database that lets you know when first shift shows up, everything is exactly where they expect it to be. So when your forklift drives from one end of the warehouse to the other, they know that box is over there, not wasting time moving around looking for an item.
Interesting. Steph?
And my latest favorite one, because it does change, is, you know, we are in a medication administration kiosk. So, you know, this is going into hospitals to dispense medication autonomously, and you know, Swift Decoder is working within that kiosk, and I just think that's fantastic.
And what specifically, what is collecting?
First of all, there is a, you know, when you're putting the medication in, it's scanning each medication. It's also entering the expiry date of that medication that goes into a database, so that when that machine is dispensing, it's then also, there are cameras inside the dispensary, and then what it does is it captures the data as it comes out as well. So there's a full, you know, trail of what's gone in, what's coming out. It goes out in the order, so in the right expiry date order. So there's not only is it doing barcode data capture, but it's also doing OCR, and it's all within cameras within the kiosk, as I say. So you don't see the cameras, you won't see it, you know, the nurse goes up on the screen, puts in the patient ID, and it will then dispense what that patient is going to have. But actually in the background there's all this technology, and Swift Decoder is part of that technology, and that just, for me, that blows me away. I think that's amazing.
So the key is, you basically don't have to specifically barcode scanning, right? I mean, it's a camera sitting in the machine somewhere scanning everything and cataloging, right? I mean, you basically taking the actual work of scanning away from the workflow, correct?
Correct.
Cool. So, I mean, you guys just came from the show, NRF, which is the world's biggest retail show. Tell me about some of the experience there. I'm sure you talked to a lot of customers who are either using or looking to use Swift Decoder.
Theo, do you want to take the Swift Decoder and I'll take the AI stuff? Or which way do you
want to do it? Yeah, that's fine. I'll take Swift Decoder. You can take the AI stuff. So, you know, from Swift Decoder's use case, right? So we talked about the software SDK, and that's been around for a little bit. From my perspective, really what struck home for a lot of people was we took Swift Decoder and we wrapped it into a product called Swift Wedge, Right. And so SwiftDecoder is designed as an SDK to be integrated into anybody else's code, anybody else's app. But what happens when you have a WMS or you have other systems that you can't physically touch because you don't own it, right? You buy a third-party software and now you're just using it on your device with some configurations, but you can't change the source code. So we developed this Swift Wedge that replaces your digital keyboard and adds scanning functionality, adds OCR capture functionality on any device, right? And now you can scan data in where traditionally you were manually typing all of that in, or you'd have to hook up a handheld scanner to, maybe some other device and then be able to scan that data in. And for what we saw out there, there was a lot of, I think discussion around how useful and how quickly we can go about resolving issues that they already have without having to do much, right? It's a finished application that you can just launch and deploy today. No coding required. And that's a way for people to do crawl, walk, run as they look at deploying larger and more complex models like adding augmented reality, right? We had augmented reality on display at NRF, and the ability to overlay data and images and provide this unique shopping experience for customers within the retail sector was something that people were very interested in, right? It drives a lot of value for customers to feel like that they're shopping to a more customized environment, to a more specific use case, and very focused on them as opposed to being another generic person that goes to self-checkout and then you sit there at self-checkout for forever. How do you speed those processes along and make it different than what else is out there? All really good conversations. And then I know Steph's raring to go on, some of the AI work that was done. So I'll hand it over to her for that.
Just 1 second. AI
Thanks,
work is really exciting. But just to double click on what you said, this personalization for users on self-checkout, can you visualize it for me? Like if I'm an average person getting into aisle at a self-checkout store, how does this change?
So traditionally, right, let's say you collect 30 items as you're walking through the store. Today, what you end up doing is you have to go, you get it all in your cart, right? Then you're going to go scan it at your self-checkout and then you pay and walk out, right? The idea here is you can personalize shopping carts on your device. So as you're going, you can scan the items as they go in, right? Maybe you can add search functionality to, let's say I'm gluten-free and I only want to be able to check out gluten-free items, right? There's databases the store already has on this data. And so you're able to build a virtual shopping cart so that when you show up to self-checkout, it's really just scanning one big barcode, it populates, you tap and go, right? And that in itself speeds up the amount of time you have to spend at self-checkouts, right? Some of those self-checkout lines have really gotten long, especially if somebody's showing up with 30 carts and don't know how 30 items and they just don't know how to scan, right? You're sitting there in line for forever at Target or wherever else you're at today. Those types of things, right, I think struck home for people as they look at revamping their retail experience.
Yeah, so basically, the Amazon Go and those kinds of self-checkout stores are becoming a little bit more generally available now, right? Used to be only proof of concept kind of store, but they are becoming actual stores now, right? So this would be perfect there that you don't have to actually scan individual items that you do now, but you basically put all the things that you want in a basket and then it basically scans all of them in one go, right? That kind of saves lots of time, right?
And today we are deployed in like those self shopping carts that you're alluding to, right? Where you can just put an item in the cart and SwiftDecoder runs in the background, right? The idea is that you want to scan a barcode without the user ever knowing. And these types of trick workflows and integrations are really starting to take off.
And probably you have these checkers of your items, right? When you get out of Costco or Walmart and other stores. So you basically don't need, you can all automate that with a simple scanner. It'll make sure all of them are counted, right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. So now getting to the exciting stuff. So tell me about use of AI and this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what we showed at NRF, and I think whenever we looked up, there were crowds of people getting the demo, which was really good to see. And there are a number of different parts to it. And what's really exciting is, some of this will go, some of the technology that we showed will go into all of our software products in one way, in one form or another. And it means quite a lot for SwiftDecoder. So some of the stuff we were shown were things like our large language modules, how we can, and an example of that might be for SwiftDecoder is, you know, we are collecting images. You know, when you're doing OCR, mm-hmm. you can collect an image through the camera, mm-hmm. and then being able to ask questions about those images. So, you know, think about if you had a bill of lading and you want to collect certain data out of that bill of lading, mm-hmm. you could, you know, with the combination of LLMs and OCR, you can really streamline that process and cut out all the noise.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, you know, work with them to really integrate those into your workflows very simply.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that really got quite a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing was being able to, you know, ask something in one language
mm-hmm.
and then get the answer back in a different language. Because we all know, particularly in, you know, warehousing and retail environments, you've got people from all different walks of life, from all different countries working
mm-hmm.
in these warehouses. We don't always speak the same language. So mm-hmm. it's really knocking down those language barriers.
Oh, okay.
And then finally, we showed what we're doing around, again, machine vision.
Mm-hmm.
So using a camera is machine vision, you mm-hmm. know, whether that's collecting reading a barcode through the camera or, you know, optical character recognition. But then let's move it on to the next step. And we were showing how we can recognize a product without a barcode,
mm-hmm.
which means you can do point of sale at product,
uh-huh.
you know. So, for example, that could reduce shrink because if you think about in retail where people may, rightly or wrongly, you know, pick up a basic version of ketchup, right?
Yeah.
But actually scan that basic version of ketchup. But actually what they do is they put the organic top-end ketchup in their bag.
Yeah.
So by identifying the product rather than reading the barcode,
mm-hmm.
you're stopping that shrinkage happening at point of product.
Correct.
So that was stuff that we looked at. And we've, you know, from that at NRF, you know, we've got customers inviting us back to talk about this in a lot deeper way.
Very nice. And I fully agree with that use case. They are little things, but retails run on a very thin, razor thin margin. So anything you can do, reduce the shrinkage, I think will be beneficial for them, right? So that's a great use case. So in terms of use of LLMs for this, how is the setup like? You provide the models and everything for the users to implement in their machines, or they have to bring their own models and do that integration?
No, this is what we're actually working on at the moment is, providing the customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is another bigger piece, which is the data
that
those models do be able to get access to.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be looking at the proprietary information that the customer has on site. So it's obviously very private. We're not going out to the big wide web on this. You know, this is customer proprietary information that we can add LLMs around and really make, you know, differences on some workflows. But that, like I said, this is where we, you know, are looking at innovation. And this is, you know, what we tend to do is work with customers, you know, do some proof of concept with customers, prove the user case. And then that's how we tend to, you know, work on what we're going to bring to market.
Okay, perfect. And because these are specific use cases for those specific, either segments or customers, you train the models on their own data, not the generic data. So there is less hallucination and higher confidence in what the result is, but also you're keeping the data confidential.
And I just, one thing I do want to add in there, right, is that, you know, machine learning is great, right? Building models, object recognition, mm-hmm. but today no machine model is 100% accurate. So one of the things that you'll see a lot of these demos at NRF, right, is we use multimodal signal input and multimodal signal output, right? Mm-hmm. So to be able to truly say, I'm seeing a carrot and it is a carrot because I can scan the barcode on the carrot, right? And being able to feed all of these signals together so that not only did you train the model, but you can then cross-reference with your traditional stuff when you get to see it and build that additional layer of confidence mm-hmm. around all of this.
Got it. So with these capabilities, where are we in the product life cycle? Are they, are they still concepts that you're thinking, or you have some proof of concepts that you have built out and trialing with vendors? Or
I would say we're at the trial stage, and you know how we bring that to market will come out in probably, I would say, the next 6 months.
Okay.
You know, there are lots of different, I mean, we've just given you an example user case.
Yeah.
You know, not be what we highlight, but, you know, the technology we have,
mm-hmm.
the capabilities we have,
mm-hmm.
and we have the customers that are working with us.
Okay.
And then that's what's going to drive the next generation in terms of, for me, for Swift Decoder,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's going to drive what goes into my SDK next,
yeah.
which is, you know, the technology that helps customers do this within their workflows.
Okay, very well. And the Swift Decoder, what is the operating systems and environments it is currently supported on?
Yeah, so we're device agnostic. So we will support Android, mm-hmm. iOS native, right? We have cross-platform wrappers. So, you know, your .NETs, your Reacts, your whatever else you have out there. Then we have Windows and Linux for those embedded environments, or if you're running it on OS to mm-hmm. be able to run it on servers. So we have, yeah. you know, probably 10-ish plus SDKs, depending on what you need to uh-huh. do and what you want to deploy on. And that's constantly changing and evolving as the software environment grows and evolves as well.
Okay. And it is a SaaS kind of a model?
Yes.
Okay. What's the traction has been so far for Swift Decoder and Swift Wedge?
Well, to be fair, this is not a new product yep. for Honeywell. It's actually been in our business for 15 years. Yep. So we have a very healthy revenue.
Yeah.
You know, we have millions of licenses out already. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do see, you know, we expect some, you know, fundamental growth with some of the technology that we're going to, you know, that we have in the solution and what we're putting in the solution. Mm-hmm. But already it's a successful product.
Yeah.
And I will say the big thing you're seeing now and why we're talking about it now is our mm-hmm. focus and reinvestment on these software solutions and how we go solve the problem, right? It's a changing market out there. There's needs to capture data beyond the barcode. And that's what you're seeing this platform really grow into.
Okay, got it. So it's a great discussion. I mean, you would think barcode decoder is old and mundane, and what more you could do and what can you change? How can it change? But it looks like applying new technology to the old technology makes it much more usable, interesting, and more beneficial, I guess, right? So
absolutely.
I agree, but I also think that sometimes we consider ourselves much more advanced than we really are.
Yeah.
You know, and there are lots of customers out there that are still, you know, very much on catch-up mode, and we shouldn't leave them behind.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is old technology, but there are still people who don't have that technology. So
okay, cool.
Yeah.
So any specific segments that you're looking at? I mean, Honeywell being such a large company with very widespread customer base.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. But we have, you know, we play hard in certain industries, right? So mm-hmm. kind of where you have the right to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for us, that is retail. It's transport logistics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, manufacturing is very key to us, and also healthcare.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean to say that we're not in government or hospitality, but I would say that the key for us is, you know, we're very strong in warehouse. That goes across all industries.
Mm-hmm.
But vertical wise, you know, retail, transport, logistics, manufacturing, and healthcare are probably our top four.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we do play in the others, but that we're not as strong as in terms of, as you know, our partners are probably more the people that take us into those areas than we do directly ourselves.
That was a great discussion. Any closing comments, anything that we missed and you want to address?
No, I just want to say thank you for allowing this opportunity for us to talk about the product and what we're trying to do here at Honeywell. So I really appreciate your time on listening and putting this together.
Very well. So thank you, Theodore and Steph, for this great discussion. It's really interesting, as I said, simple mundane things can become more beneficial, you know, when you apply new technologies and new things to them, especially, you know, things like AI. Again, thank you very much for coming over to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you.
So folks, that's all we have for now. Hope you found this discussion informative and useful. If so, please hit like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening this on. I'll be back soon with another episode, putting light on another interesting tech subject. Bye-bye for now.